Hey, great podcast today. We have Barry Weiss on, who I just think is phenomenal. We're talking to her about, you know, what the end game of the Democratic Party is. What does this next election look like? And how does it feel to be Barry Weiss in today's world with so much going on, including what happened at St. Patrick's Cathedral this weekend? You had a bunch of people protesting for freeing Palestine in the middle of Easter Sunday Mass at St. Patrick's. It's gotten a little out of hand. We cover all of the news that you need to know and the worst April Fool's joke of all time reveal. That's coming up in just a second. First, these are difficult times for the Republic. They're printing money like it's going out of style, which, might be a problem. We're sinking deeper and deeper into debt. Inflation is driving the cost of our goods and services through the roof. People are struggling. That's why I recommend putting your money, at least a portion of it, maybe 5 or 10% of your money, into gold or silver, something you can trust, something that is stable. Price of gold has gone through the roof again today. People are getting out of the dollar and putting more and more dollars into gold or silver because this dollar is not going to be worth very much. Please, you can find out how you can protect your investment, protect your money, just by getting the free wealth guide, the wealth protection guide at Lear Capital. Call 800-957-GOLD. This is free. 957-GOLD, that's an 800 number. Plus, just because you listen to me, you'll get credit to your account of $250 if you decide to buy anything, just because you're a Glenn Beck listener. It's 800-957-GOLD.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Free Press and host of the podcast, Honestly. Before she was doing that, she was working for the New York Times as an opinion writer and editor at the New York Times. Before that, she was an op-ed and book review editor at the Wall Street Journal and senior editor at Tablet Magazine. There was a little dust up, and she decided to leave the New York Times. And she is probably the first major, wouldn't you say, first major journalist to walk and say, no, I can't.
I've had enough. Yeah.
It was a big turning point, I believe, in America. And she joins us now. Her name is Barry Weiss. Welcome, Barry. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
You bet. Now, we know you're used to being on really smart shows.
Yes.
And and this is not one of them.
No.
So this is... We're wondering if we should talk to you
I'll dumb myself way down.
Okay, good. Perfect. Good. All right, good. And you're at our level then. First of all, you are coming into town here in Dallas April 11th, and you're doing a series of debates because, you know, we should try that again. You know, have people that are intellectuals on both sides actually debate things and then walk away without killing each other.
Yeah, this is, should the United States shut its borders? The America Debates series presented by the Free Press and Fire. Ann Coulter and Sohrab Armari versus Nick Gillespie and Cenk Uygur. This is going to be great. Majestic Theater, Dallas, Texas, April 11th at 7 p.m.
You guys are doing my job for me.
Well, you're welcome.
That's the only thing we can do.
That's what we do here at this intellectual program.
The most important thing I can say is people, anyone who's listening, we'd love to see you there. And you can get tickets at vfp.com, like the Free Press, vfp.com/debate. There's also an after party where you can hang out with me. I promise to be fun and not too New York intellectual, and all of the and the four people that the gents just mentioned. But yeah, right. This is the first in a series of debates that we're hosting across 2024. The premise being that, you know, Trump and Biden might not debate, probably won't, but we still believe in the virtue of civil debate. We still believe in an America where we solve our problems and get to the truth, not with our fists, but with our words.
Right.
So we're doing a series of debates on issues that really matter to Americans, starting with immigration and then tech, capitalism, and foreign policy. So we're really, really excited to come to Texas.
So, Barry, do you really think we don't fight with our fists? I mean, it seems as though, unfortunately, and as I'd like to remind everyone in the audience, I don't want to live like Haitians do. Haiti, not a good scenario.
Hmm. You don't want to live under barbecues, Rain?
No, well, that too. I was just thinking, I like law and order, you know?
Like barbecue too, but yeah, not particular.
That. Yeah. I am really concerned about what's coming this fall.
Me too. I wish I had something. There's not a smart, clever quip I have to say to that. I'm really, really concerned about the direction that this country is headed. You know, I live in one of the blue cities I imagine you guys talk about in this program, where, you know, the most basic expectations that you have as a taxpaying, law-abiding citizen are not fulfilled. And I'm someone that has, forgive the word, guys, but the privilege of being able to, you know, move my family if, God forbid, we needed to, where I could, you know, pay in my neighborhood. It's sort of South African, like people pay like a private security service because the cops simply don't show up if you call them. And, you know, that is an unsustainable situation. And, you know, it's quite shocking to me, you know, that the Democrats, you know, who, you know, say what you want about Trump, et cetera, but, you know, for those people who tend to vote Democrat, they're just looking for a party that allows them to say what you see with your own eyes is true.
Yeah.
Things are not safe in the way that they ought to be, and we're going to make them better. I mean, it's such a simple proposition, and the fact that that's not what's on offer is really baffling to many of us.
So, yeah, I find that interesting. They don't seem to react to actual
politics.
Conditions and people. Yeah, politics. I mean, it's a little disturbing because it's kind of like, what do you know that I don't know? Or are you that blind? And I don't know. Maybe blind or arrogant is the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is just, as you both know, such an increasingly tiny bubble that a lot of the people in, you know, the political class and also in many of our sense-making institutions inhabit. And that's a world in which, you know, you can go to a dinner party. This is a real-life example that my wife experienced. And, you know, the majority of people think it's quite normal to suggest that they shouldn't have kids because of global warming. Now, that is just like in a different universe than what most Americans are thinking about, which is the price of their milk, the price of a roast chicken at the grocery store, the price of their gas, how much it costs to buy a home, and very, very basic things like, are we becoming more like Haiti or less? And a lot of Americans, you know, are running toward the right because of those basic issues.
So let me bring you back to the border here for a second. I cannot figure out the end game here, because you have the Pentagon, you have the Department of Homeland Security, you have everybody saying all the lights are flashing red. We're at high alert. Well, if, God forbid, something happens, everyone will know that it most likely happened because we have an open border. How do Democrats survive that?
I mean, they're not. At least if you're looking at the polling and you believe that the polling is accurate, an overwhelming number of Americans are listing immigration, and specifically illegal immigration, as the single most important issue in this election. That's pretty mind-blowing, considering that there's a lot of other issues that really matter. And this is one that's a choice where it doesn't need to matter. So, you know, it's from just a purely strategic perspective, politically, it's very, very baffling to me. And I have to say, especially, I'll put myself on the hook here. You know, I am someone who is just very pro-immigration as a general rule. You know, like every American, I'm a descendant of immigrants, but in my case, more recently maybe than a lot of other people, given the Jewish expulsion out of Europe under Hitler. But, you know, after October 7th and watching, you know, what is possible, what can come, you know, what violence and barbarism can come over what Israelis believed was an incredibly secure border, I am just looking at the issue in a very different way now. And I'm taking it personally a lot more seriously. And you know, I can speak not on behalf of the Jewish community, but definitely on part of a lot of people I know that they're feeling similarly. I think that most people thought, you know, most people coming over the border, and perhaps this is still true, are seeking a better life. They're like my grandparents. Could be true. It's just, we don't know. And the idea that, you know, we just don't know is bad enough.
Can I ask you, being, you know, an immigrant or immigrant family from Europe?
Yeah, I should be clear. I'm not an immigrant. It's just
No. I know. Your family.
I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know that. I'm sorry. I told you weren't on a smart show. but, you know, you probably, you know, I know you grew up hearing the stories, but probably never thought it would happen here. And now to see what you're seeing on the streets, what does that feel like?
Really, really disorienting and alienating. You know, I grew up in such a proudly Jewish and proudly American family. I grew up in a family in which, you know, when things were said to me, I remember waiting for the school bus with my second sister, and a Catholic school bus drove by and they called us kikes and dirty Jews. I'd never heard those words before. And the attitude on the part of my family was, that's so embarrassing for them. They don't know that this is America. We don't do that here. And that was just the ethos that I grew up under. In other words, the ethos that, you know, the founders of this country were steeped in the Hebrew Bible, that, you know, towns and cities across this country are called Shiloh and Canaan and, you know, and all of the city and town names of the land of Israel. Right. And, you know, Europe wasn't like that. This was a country not based in ethnic nationalism and blood and soil. We know how that ends up, but based in a set of ideas. You know, Benjamin Franklin wanted the image on this country's great seal to be Moses crossing the Red Sea. Abraham Lincoln called Americans the almost chosen people because he read his Bible. And not for nothing, his name was Abraham. You know, he was named for the very first Jew of all. And so that was, I didn't even think of it as a worldview, because that's how certain it was for me.
Correct.
And certain it was for, you know, at least the American, the sort of the golden moment that I grew up in. And, you know, beginning about 5 years ago with the neo-Nazi massacre in the synagogue where I became a bat mitzvah, Tree of Life, that all started to shift. And, you know, on the one hand, it's the big picture, I think, is a story of ideas. And the truth is that, you know, America's based on them. And when we are loyal to those ideas, when we fight to renew those ideas, when we pass those ideas on to our children, this is a unbelievable place to live, not just for the Jewish community, but for every single minority and striver that has ever called America home. And when we abandon those ideas, and when we give in to a set of ideas that pit us against each other, that suggest that America is not the last best hope on earth, but, you know, based on an ideology of white supremacy, not really worth fighting for, no better, Glenn, than a country like Haiti, that's when things start getting dark. And that's what we're starting to see here. You know, I don't know if you saw, there was a viral image of one of these groups. It feels silly to me to even say they're pro-Palestinian. No, they're anti-Israel, they're anti-Jewish, and they're anti-American.
Yes.
They got up on stage at an Easter mass screaming their heads off. What does that have to do with the war in Gaza? Like, what does any of this actually have to do with a tragic war that's happening 10,000 miles away, in a place that most of these people can't locate on a map? They claim to be fighting for the lives of innocent Gazans who are tragically dying in this war, but it's really about something much, much darker.
And I mean, that you have the entire Middle East playing that game. They all say they care about Gaza. Then open your borders. The reason why they won't open their borders is they know that it is not about that. And every time they do open their borders, there's some sort of revolution that starts. I mean, if they truly cared, but they don't, they care about the destruction of Israel, not the people of Gaza. It might be.
I think one of the things that's alarming for, it's not just Jews, it's just anyone who reads history understands that societies where anti-Semitism mm-hmm. is allowed to thrive are societies and regimes and cultures that are dead 100% of the time. Like when anti-Semitism is allowed to flourish, it means your society, that's the five alarm fire. And it's coming, you know, it's coming from the left and it's coming from the right too. And they are presenting themselves in really different ways, but at the same time, and it's obviously something that I'm thinking about and trying to fight with every fiber of my being.
Barry, it is great to have you on. We're both big fans. We listen to you. We admire what you have done and hope to have you on again. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. I hope I dumbed it down enough. I appreciate it.
all right, wonderful day,
and I'll see you guys in Texas.
You got it. The American Debates from the Free Press. The first one is, should the United States shut its borders? Moderated by Barry, and you can get your tickets now at thefp.
Yeah, it's .com. Check that out. It's going to be great. And the Free Press, by the way, too, Glenn, has brought up tons of these stories. If you remember Jennifer Say, the Levi's executive, we've had her on a few times.
Yes.
They were the ones who broke that story. They broke a ton of stories about cancel culture and all this other stuff. Yeah. They've done a great job over at the Free Press.
Thefp.com. Let me tell you about Relief Factor. Debbie wrote in about her husband's experience with Relief Factor. She says, my husband had aches and pains from hard day's work for years. His work required him to walk miles with a 40-pound backpack daily. Relief Factor changed his life. He doesn't suffer from those aches and pains anymore. Thank you so much, Relief Factor. Debbie, thank you for writing in and letting us know about your husband's experience. Sounds like he got his life back. I'm trying to figure out what he did walking, you know, miles and miles and miles with a 40-pound backpack, either military or, well, it could be like me. My wife just throws some food in a backpack and then drives me out in the middle of a desert and says, find your way home. Anyway, Relief Factor is not a drug. It is a supplement that is all natural, and it helps your body fight pain by reducing inflammation. Get your quick starter kit. Take it for 3 weeks and watch the changes in you. $19.95 comes with a Relief Factor. Feel better, your money back guarantee. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, ReliefFactor.com. Now back to the podcast. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. Joe Biden released a proclamation on Friday, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that the Transgender Day of Visibility has been, you know, a thing since like 2009. This year it fell on Easter, but I think that's why more people paid attention to it. You know, I don't really care any given Sunday, you want to whatever. On Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people created equal and treated equally throughout their lives. I'm proud to say my administration has stood for justice from the start, working to ensure that the LGBTQI, where's the A, plus community can live openly, safely, and with dignity and respect. I am proud to have appointed transgender leaders to my administration. Serving openly in our military. I got a problem with that. I do. I'm sorry. That's cool. I'm sorry, General. Wear pants. I am proud to have signed historic executive orders to strengthen civil rights protection in housing, employment, health care, education, justice system, and more. I'm proud to have signed the Respect for Marriage Act into law, ensuring that every American can marry the person they love, because love wins. So his administration is working to stop the bullying and harassment of transgender children.
Who now?
Hmm?
Who now? Transgendered
children.
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 No, no, that's, yeah. Glenn, that's, that is a right-wing conspiracy theory. They're not trying to do that to our kids. That's not something that even exists. It's just a made-up fever dream of the right.
That's in the proclamation.
Oh.
The Department of Justice taking action to push back against extreme and un-American state laws targeting transgender youth and their families. And the Department of Justice is partnering with law enforcement and community groups to combat hate and violence. You know what that what he's talking about? Is families that say, no, you can't just take my child and give them a sex change. That's his idea of justice. Today, we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You're understood. You belong. You're America. My entire administration and I have your back. Okay. Now, the problem is that it was on Easter. And it's not like this whole transgender thing falling on Easter this year was a surprise to Jesus. You know what I mean? He wasn't surprised by it. I think we were maybe surprised by it. We're like, what? Jesus was like, yeah, dummy. Didn't see this coming. I mean, seen this coming. Read about it in my book. So he wasn't surprised. And honestly, the people who are destroying universal truths of gender, they're not an enemy of ours. They're not. They are an enemy of God's laws. And it's for him to work out. Because he's not surprised by any of this. He's not. It was weird because it must have been brought up to me over the weekend, just in my family, like four different times. Dad, did you hear what Joe Biden did? Yes, I did. Let's celebrate Easter. I mean, I feel sorry for people who are trapped in their bodies. You know, they feel trapped in their bodies. That is a horrible, horrible way to go through life. But even Caitlyn Jenner condemned the pronouncement. She said, the International Transgender Day of Visibility, created March 2009, continued to be celebrated, blah, blah, blah. I am absolutely disgusted that Joe Biden has declared the most holy of holy days, a self-proclaimed devout Catholic, as Transgender Day of Visibility. The only thing you should be declaring on this day is he is risen. That's Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah. And so I know you've included some of this context earlier in the show. I guess they apparently started Transgender Visibility Day back in like the late 2000s.
Yeah, and Easter changes.
It's on this day. It's on March 31st every year. So yeah. Occasionally, which has happened, I think, once before since this thing started, it falls on the same day as Easter. So but Biden saying, declaring this day, I want, you know.
Didn't he do this on Thanksgiving? Wasn't there a Transgender Day of Visibility?
There's 150 of them.
There are 28 related 28 International Asexuality Day.
Ooh, that's a good
International
one.
Day of Pink, Day of Silence, Harvey Milk Day, Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day, International Drag Day.
Wait, Panromantic Day? What is
Panromantic?
Pansexual and Panromantic. So you're. Wait, who's a you're panromantic? You're romantic with any gender, but not sexually attracted. Like you're just going out to
Hey,
just like candlelight dinners.
Hey, Stu,
with
can I buy you a drink tonight?
Yeah, sexual. Nothing sexual at all. We're just gonna have a nice romantic dinner. Yeah. I like that.
There's also entire months devoted to LGBT causes, including Pride Month in June. LGBT History Month in October, Transgender Awareness Month in November. You get a Transgender Awareness Month and a Visibility Day? I mean, George Washington can't even have his own birthday.
They're combining them for our founders.
Right.
And going but the opposite way. With
this is crazy. You know what? Let me tell you something. If you're LGBTQIA+ and Jewish, you never have to work a day in your life. Every day is a holiday. Mm. You combine Jewish holidays with all of the LGBTQ holidays. I never see you at work. Never.
It's true. There'd be no days to work. There would be none left.
There'd be nothing left. I think you have like 3 days, maybe in February.
Mm.
But that's it.
It's incredible. And the funny thing is they at one point asked the quote unquote founder of Trans Visibility Day why they, I'll put they because I just don't know which way it went.
What do you mean by them?
Yeah.
They.
Why they put it in this time period? It was because they needed to avoid all the other trans days. That was like the reason why it wasn't a target of Easter in theory. At least that's what their claim was. It was.
I believe that.
It was just like, there's too many other days. If we make it a month later, it's too close to Trans Awareness Month or whatever else is on the schedule.
I mean.
Just dissecting the calendar.
I mean, you could put the rainbow on the White House, but could you have made them a little more pastelish so you could also have those an Easter rainbow?
Yeah. My favorite part was the people who were pushing back against this. Because, you know, I will say some on the right initially, who the hell would know the history of Trans Visibility Day? So initially they were like, oh,
gosh,
she's
what a hater.
People on the right were assuming, with I think good suspicion here, rational suspicion that Joe Biden just created this day and put it on Easter, which I would not put it past them at all to do that. So when people are going by that, some people were pushing back and saying, actually, this isn't Joe Biden doing this. And of course, Joe Biden loves Easter. As you know, he's a devout Catholic. And look, by the way, at the White House site, the Easter Bunny's right on the site. They put the Easter Bunny right on the site.
Not the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. And
wow.
if they didn't like Easter, they wouldn't put the Easter Bunny on the site. Guys, that's not the Easter we're talking about. That's not the one we're concerned about. It's not the Easter Bunny kind of Easter we're complaining about here.
Right.
We know
He's
they do it.
He probably only cares about the Easter Bunny Easter because of all the good union jobs at Hershey.
Yes. The fine folks at Cadbury, I need them to vote for me. Like, we all remember they do the egg roll, right? We all remember Joe Biden does the Easter egg hunt thing at the White House because the Easter Bunny had to pull him away from reporters who were asking him questions last time.
And that was two times ago. Last time it was the transgender and gay people lifting up
That's
their tops.
Right, going topless.
So
yes.
we got a great Easter tradition
how
happening at the White House.
How could you possibly think he wouldn't honor Easter after all of that? Why would you be suspicious?
You know, Cardinal Wilton Gregory came out. He was on Face the Nation, and they were like, so he says he's a Catholic. And the cardinal's like, yeah, no. No, cafeteria Catholic, which isn't really a Catholic. Cafeteria Catholic is like, oh, I'm going to have some of that and maybe a little bit of not that, none of that. And he picks and chooses. I mean, I don't understand how these people can say they're Catholic when, you know, they're for abortion. Do you know that it was the Catholics that have led the way on the pro-life thing from the beginning? The other religions didn't seem to care all that much. Mm. For years, it was just the Catholics. You know, the homosexual thing, I guess it was cool with priests for a while, but not for anybody else. How is that man a Catholic?
I think many Catholics would argue he's not. And I've made that argument publicly.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't work because I ask every day the same question, how is this man president?
And many would argue he's not, but still, he keeps staying in there, so I guess, I don't know, maybe we don't know how this works.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Daniel Cameron, a former attorney general of the great state of Kentucky, now the CEO of 1792 Exchange. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing well, Glenn. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you bet. You bet. So talk to me about what's happening at Disney.
Well, look, as your listeners probably know, Disney is in a big proxy fight now as it relates to who will ultimately sit on their board. And this is all coming to a head because, in my theory of the case, is that because Disney got into some of these political agendas a couple of years ago in Florida, they've taken their eye off the ball. And so whether it's Bob Iger or their current iteration of their board, those folks have shown and demonstrated that they're more concerned about political agendas as opposed to producing a good product. And so there's another group that is namely led by Nelson Peltz that wants to shift the strategy of that board. A lot of this has to do with succession planning, if you will, and whether Disney is going to continue to have a focus on high quality product and customer service, or are they going to focus on these partisan political agendas? And at 1792 Exchange, I want your listeners to know that in the coming days, we're actually going to share information on board members in a way that people can understand why boards are making some of the decisions that they are making. Again, that's 1792exchange.com. That information will be forthcoming. Again, it's to help listeners of this program know, why are boards doing what they're doing? Why did Disney engage against Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis in Florida, on a very responsible bill to protect our children? Why did Disney come out against that? Who's driving those decisions? That's what 1792 Exchange wants to explore. That's what we want your listeners to understand. And I know, again, your listeners are concerned about this because they're concerned about the very fabric and foundation of this country. Who we are is a country. What are our businesses engaging in? Are they engaging in, again, creating those high quality products? Are they in the business of business, as our President Calvin Coolidge talked about? Or are they about partisan political agendas?
So, you know, when you look at the direction of Disney, I can't believe it went on this long, because I've never seen a brand flush down the toilet faster than Disney. That was an untouchable brand of trust. And I think that trust is gone. Can they save it?
Glenn, I think your analysis is correct. There has been certainly over the last few years a shift in mindset by Disney to not focus on making Disney the happiest place on the world and providing and producing good family content that folks can gather around on and just watch on a Friday night as a family, or go to a park and just enjoy time at a park and you know, ride some rides and have a good time. They have injected themselves into political debates and injected themselves in a way that in many ways sort of skews against traditional values. And when people go to a park, you know, they want to have a good time. They don't want to be they don't want to have an agenda pushed on them. But unfortunately, Disney has gotten into that world. And because of it, their shareholders have suffered. I mean, if you look over the last few years, the S&P 500 just as a whole has been performing better than the share price of Disney. And I have to believe it's because the credibility of their brand has been harmed by the fact that they've engaged in these political, ideological fights that they frankly should just stay out of. You know, Glenn, you know that Michael Jordan in the 90s said something to this effect. He said, you know, Republicans buy shoes too. What he was trying to say is that as an entity, as a business, as an organization, we shouldn't be engaged in getting into the middle of policy debates that the legislatures, that the representatives of their states need to make decisions on. Businesses shouldn't be in that. And that's what 1792 Exchange is about. We want to make sure that businesses get back to the business of business. It now seems like a novel idea to say that, but most Americans, most citizens recognize that our companies need to be about, particularly our public facing entities, need to be about the return on investment to the shareholders, need to be about producing those high quality products, and they've got to stay out of these political agendas, especially when those political agendas largely are being driven by the far left or the human rights campaign that is in many ways underwriting these extremist agendas that are hurting the fabric of our country.
I have to tell you, it's such a great job and service that 1792 Exchange does. In case you've never been there, you should go. They rate all of the companies. I mean, how many companies are up now? You know,
we've got over, we've got over 2,500 companies. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
And our flagship product is what we call the corporate bias rating. And so, Glenn, as you've noted, it basically tells your listener, if you go to 1792exchange.com, you can go on there, find our corporate bias rating, our CBR for short, and it will rate a company. If the human rights campaign, for instance, tells you the more woke you are, the better, what we say as a counter is that, no, the more woke you are, it's hurting your company. And it's hurting ultimately the consumer, because what the consumer cares about, again, is that high quality product. They want a product that is good. And so if you are in the product of making, or if you're in the business of making really good consumer products, that's what you need to focus on. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of companies that have been, they've been taken over by an extremist element or a far left element. They've shifted their mindset and what they are focused on such that the product is suffering, that the return on investment to the shareholder is suffering. And that cannot continue. If we want to continue to be that shining city on a hill, if we want to continue to provide opportunity and build the best equipment and provide the best services, then our businesses have to reorient themselves and get focused again on remaining neutral and at the end of the day producing that high quality product that every consumer, again, your listeners, our families care about.
Do you think that people are, the companies are starting to change and learn their lesson yet?
Glenn, I think so, because again, whether you're talking about it, if other publications are talking about commentators are talking about it. This stuff is getting into the national conversation and dialogue, and now people are starting to wake up to it, and they realize that companies aren't focused on their primary business; they're focused on political agendas that benefit the far left. And as more people know about this, the more it's going to have an effect on pushing back against these companies and getting our companies back to neutral and back to what they should be about, which is, again, working hard to produce good products.
So, Daniel, you were an attorney general, so you might be able to wing. I'm sorry, this is a little unfair to just spring this on you, but do you know anything about Allstate and, or was it Allstate or Farmers? I think it was Allstate that just pulled out of California and said, you know, we're in. I think they left maybe 60,000 customers there, canceled everything else, and just said, too expensive, not going to do it. I'm really worried about the banks and the insurance companies, mm-hmm. because the insurance mm-hmm. companies and the banks can make business impossible to do if they don't allow you to open bank accounts, or they deperson you. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with insurance companies. If they decide to make guns mm-hmm. a giant risk, then mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to afford to have one.
You know, that's something in 1792 Exchange we think a lot about. And Glenn, you're very right to bring it up. I mean, this whole idea of debanking, meaning that a bank, because you're in what they might describe as an industry that they don't want to deal with, whether it's guns or, other areas that pertain to our constitutional rights. If if you are a Christian entity or Christian organization and they don't like that about you, you know, the threat of debanking is real. And we deal with folks that have that concern. It is a major consideration. And again, it's one of the reasons 1792 Exchange exists. It's because we want consumers, we want Christian business owners, we want folks in the gun industry to understand who are the best banks, the best insurance companies to do business with, based on the idea that you won't be canceled because you're in the gun industry or because you're Christian or religiously affiliated. So this is a big issue. It touches on our constitutional rights. And so we have to stand up as the Attorney General of Kentucky. I was often in the position of defending constitutional rights. It's one of the reasons I love being at 1792 Exchange, because we continue to do that work and walk alongside allies to protect the religious expression and freedom of expression of people that is enshrined within our First Amendment, and protect the Second Amendment and our gun rights by making sure that we're holding accountable these insurance companies and banks so that they do not cancel the folks that are protected by the First Amendment and our Second Amendment.
Daniel, thank you so much. This is Daniel Cameron on Disney, thank what's you. Coming on Disney, and also 1792 Exchange. You can find all the information on Disney. I would imagine it's in your Spotlight Bias Reports. Is that where it's going to come out, Daniel?
Yeah, look. April 3rd is when the big shareholder meeting is for Disney. We are going to be spotlighting some of the board folks that are involved in the board decisions at Disney, and you can find that information. You will be able to find that information on our website.
Okay. 1792exchange.com. Thank you so much, Daniel. I appreciate it. You know, I'm just looking at some of these companies. Wow. 3M, high risk, AAA, low risk, AARP, medium risk, Abercrombie high risk. What a surprise that is. They have so many. Accenture high risk, Ace Hardware low risk. You know that Ace Hardware is a low risk simply because it was Home Depot that was, you know, Ace Hardware. You could not go into Ace Hardware during COVID. Ace Hardware, deadly. Home Depot, I think they're safe.
No, 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 no.